Morning, Sam.
Morning, Al.
Morning, recovery people everywhere. Morning, Hamish.
Oh.
Friday.
Is it right to get back in?
Morning, Hamish. You're right, every man. Let's go.
Hello. April the 26th. This is from Opening Doors Within. Hope everyone's well. Why not make this day a glorious day? By starting off on the right foot and getting into contact with me the instant you wake up. Why not fill your heart with love and gratitude for a day filled with expectations of the very best and highest? When your first few moments of the new day are joyous and uplifting, you will find the next few will also be so. And as the moments grow into hours, you will find that peace and joy will follow you throughout the day. When you wake up with a heavy burden on your mind, feeling low and depressed, you can carry that state of mind throughout the day unless you do something about it. Seek me to find the perfect peace of heart and mind, which comes when you have cast all your cares and worries upon me, and when your only desire is to do my will and walk in my ways.
Mm-hmm.
I always say thy will be done first thing, you know, even if it's, I'm not sure what time it is and I get up to go to the loo. Just a reminder, thy will be done. I always remember someone saying, you say that before you put your slippers on. And I remember one of my sponsees said, but I don't have slippers, and I said, well, turn it into knickers. Just say it before you get dressed.
Yeah, but it's a good kind of outlook on life, isn't it? You know, no matter what's happening, I'm not going to live today in fear.
Yeah, and sometimes it takes a while, you know, we have a little routine, don't we? We come down, the dog, you know, do this, do yoga, do our prayers, and usually if something hasn't lifted, it has by the end of the routine, or lessened, you know, because you're just doing your step 11, aren't you? You're having that conscious contact, you know, you're tuning in. And you're starting the day on awakening, you know, pause when agitated, find an intuitive thought will come, and, you know, just set yourself up each day, don't you? Like, I've got to do God's will today, not my will, so what's that principle behind every step? You know, do the opposite of what comes naturally or what did come naturally. Instead of thinking of self, thinking of the whole. And there's a whole routine, isn't there? That you can gradually start changing the way you think, which is good, isn't it? What's that noise?
Don't know. Next door. Yeah. Do God's work. Do God's will. Is that the same?
Work and will. Well, will is thought plus action, so yeah. Because if you think about what you need to do and then action it, so say like if you're thinking of how you can get more people into CA, and then that's a thought, and then the action is getting the posters done and going and putting them up, so it's, you know, helping people have a chance, isn't it, of living properly. Not
or taking the dog for a walk.
What's that?
Go to work.
Because it's not in self.
Yeah, well, it's in the service for
service
the dog.
Service for others, yeah. There's, we've always said, haven't we, you know, it's not just service in the fellowship, it's, you know, service to others.
There's a line in the big book, isn't there? Every day is a day we carry, you know, God's will for us or something like that. I remember it. 274 from the big book.
Could you imagine though, if you didn't have this routine and you woke up a little bit in self and you didn't have like meditation or prayers or readings, you're not really then protected, are you? You haven't got that defence. Because you're open to resentments and fears still plaguing your whole day. You haven't cleared them at night, they're with you at night, you wake up with them in the morning. It's that whole process, isn't it? The nightly inventory, you know, clear conscience makes a soft pillow. And then as soon as you're awake, so it's bookending, isn't it? You know, so that you're in that process of recovery. And, you know, I'm quite surprised sometimes when people say, oh, I don't do prayers and meditation. And I, well, okay. How's your day going then? It's just, you know...
Well, they're just living a normal life then, aren't they, really? You know, they've kind of got out of the habit of drinking and they're in the habit of going to their meetings and just living a normal life, you know, with a normal kind of profile of resentment and fear.
Yeah, it's...
They're not really experiencing the freedom of...
of being able to let go of your fear. You know, I saw my sisters yesterday, and, you know, one of them had come back from looking after my parents in Cyprus, and there's always fear. There's fear around, you know, your mum. And if I couldn't let go of the outcome, because I'm not in control, if I couldn't hand over that fear, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night, like I used to never sleep at night when I was drinking. And like you say, it's a benefit, isn't it? It's a benefit to get into that habit of, right, I say the serenity prayer, can I control that? No, I can't, so I've got to let that go. And it's so, like you say, you're getting the maximum benefit then, aren't you? Yeah.
Good. So as Bill sees it, 274... This is an extract from the 12 and 12. Going it alone in spiritual matters is dangerous. How many times have we heard well-intentioned people claim the guidance of God when it was plain that they were mistaken? Lacking both practice and humility, they had deluded themselves and so were able to justify the most arrant nonsense on the ground that this was what God had told them. People of very high spiritual development almost always insist on checking with friends or spiritual advisors the guidance they feel they have received from God. Surely, then, a novice ought not to lay himself open to the chance of making foolish, perhaps tragic, blunders. While the comment or advice of others may not be infallible, it is likely to be far more specific than any direct guidance we may receive while we are still inexperienced in establishing contact with a power greater than ourselves.
What's that? Where's that?
12 and 12, page 61 to 62. So, I'm guessing that's step 3. Well, there was.
I always remember on this, you know, our friend on the Scottish trip. She was quite new in, and you know, it was a big drive up to one of the conventions, and on the way back she was in a cafe and she wanted an appetizer or something, and they said, oh, sorry, we've run out, we don't have that. And she said that was God's sign that I could have a drink of wine.
Mm.
You know, and that's what they're saying in that, in the beginning of that reading, isn't it? You know, you have to...
Mm. Deluded.
You have to, you know... And so for me, I have a checklist.
Mm.
So, you know, if I'm going through a checklist of, you know, it's usually the principles behind each step.
Mm.
So if you think, right, if that's God's idea, or is it my idea, I can just go down, you know, am I being selfish running this idea? Am I being tolerant running this idea? Mm. Am I being brotherly loving to all with this idea? Am I doing service with this idea? Am I increasing the conscious contact? You know, you run through this, the principle behind each step as a checklist, don't you?
Mm.
And, you know, is it self-seeking behaviour, what I'm planning?
Mm.
You know, am I self-justificating this? Is it something to do with envy or lust or anger or pride or inconsideration or dishonesty?
Mm.
Am I just being dishonest making this decision? Mm. You, and we can check it off on a list, can't we?
Mm.
If we're wondering, you know, is this a good idea? Self-importance, self-pity, harmful, you know, impatient. And we've got more of a chance of knowing that it's, you know, it's coming from the right place.
Yeah. Where do thoughts come from? You know, that is, you know, I seem to remember, I don't know where it was from, but they were, you know, quite, in the early days of AA, they were, you know, they were meditating and, you know, seeking guidance from God, and they were, you know, they were having ideas about all sorts of things, you know, and coming up with, you know, quite harmful ideas, justifying it on the basis of, well,
that's what
God told me to do that, you know.
Mm.
And, you know, that's tricky, isn't it? You know, I don't ever think of, you know, getting a message from God verbally, you know, like a voice in my head or a voice outside my head.
I've had one, clear, very loud, insightful.
Mm.
And then
my idea of God's an energy field, you know, that isn't, you know, talking. It's just, you know, sort of power. You know, a bit like electricity. And maybe it is electricity, but, you know, electricity is from the same place.
I sometimes get very clear messages after breath work as well, or during breath work. It just comes from a different place. It just feels.
Well, you know, these kind of downloads, you know, are, if you're, you know, if you've got yourself into an altered state of consciousness as a result of meditation or breath work, or, you know, you're in the shower, or you're sleeping, or you're just waking up, or going to sleep, then they seem to have more weight. You know, we give them more weight, and they seem to be more kind of relevant.
They're quite profound.
More kind of important in the context of our life. You know, it's not like, oh,
must get oranges.
Heavy old stuff, you know, it's like big stuff.
It's like, have you made amends to this person?
Mm.
It suddenly comes out of the blue.
Mm.
And that's when you're doing an activity where you've got your ego out the way.
Mm.
Meditation, breath work, walking, showering. You know, if you're not thinking, you're 80,000 trivial thoughts a day. And if you're in that place of silence, you pay attention to that, to that thought, because it's an intuitive thought, and it's coming from not the usual drivel.
Yeah.
You've made a couple of changes from breath work, haven't you? You've had a couple of... You've gone out and taken action. And it's always been for the best, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit of a thinker, you know, a bit of an analyser, and I'm always, you know, it's like I can't unthink thoughts. You know, I'm like, I'll just be, you know, in the shower or driving along or sat at my desk or whatever, walking, and then the thought comes in my head and I'm like, I can't think that, you know. It's not necessarily I have to take action, but the idea suddenly there that wasn't there before, you know, and I have to now take that idea into account in terms of what am I doing? Do I need to pay attention to that idea or not? Because it's at that point, it's just a thought, isn't it? You know, it's just an idea. It's not necessarily a message from God or a download from the quantum field. Don't know.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we're not, it says, doesn't it, in all the spiritual practices, when you're focused, like in transcendental meditation, you know, you're focusing on your breath. Or in breath work, you know, you super oxygenated yourself so that you don't have thoughts, but intuitive thoughts just pop in. So you know there is a space. You know, there is a space in between your thoughts, and that's what Viktor Frankl calls, you know, your freedom. It's this gap that we look for, the space in between our thoughts where we get the nuggets, I believe. If anyone locally hasn't tried breath work, I really recommend it for people in the fellowship to increase their conscious contact. I got a message from the Isbourne Net yesterday. I've got 4 spaces left tomorrow. So anyone, just Google the Isbourne in Cheltenham and grab it. You can just book on the website, grab a seat, or grab a mat, lie down and come and experience it, because it's quite amazing, isn't it? And that's where I do get the messages, you know, because my ego's gone. The ego goes. The centre of your prefrontal cortex, it the oxygen does something, and you do get connected to something else. It's
good to have a sponsor as well, isn't it? You know, and you've got that kind of sounding board when you get ideas. You know, because they kind of know you. You know, you've been honest with them about your whole life, and
they know if it's coming from you, won't they?
They can, you know, they'll just give you an honest opinion about, you know, whether it's a good idea or maybe not such a good idea.
Well, I do remember the second time I was in treatment, and I was so, like, wanting to do, you know, well, and phoned up. No, I didn't have a sponsor, but I got one soon after, and I said, that's it, I want to be a counsellor. I'm going to uni, and I'm going to do... She said, first things first, get recovery first. And it was the best thing she ever said. Because I would never have been able to get to all the meetings. So that was good. And God's idea works through other people as well. They've long-term sobriety people have got a good filter, haven't they? They'll be able to say, well, in my experience, I've seen people that have come straight out of treatment go into a degree course for 4 years, not be successful in recovery. Do it next year if you still want to do it. It was very good advice. Thanks, Sam.
Right.
Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.